You know, the great courtroom of God, let's say this is a a gavel, the great courtroom of God, one of Spurgeon's most famous sermons is called The Great Assize, A-S-S-I-Z-E. The Great Assize is the Great Judgment. And what we fail to understand is the conscience is tied to God's courtroom and justice. The conscience is annexed to God's courtroom. That means every time the unbeliever sins, his conscience is generating a subpoena and a summons. You will have to answer for this. You'll have to answer for that. And these are stacking up by the millions. I mean, what if an unbeliever, what if you begin to convince him, hey, every time your conscience has accused you, that is a summons, that is a subpoena, you must appear before God and answer for this. And the judgment of God is comprehensive. It will extend to every idle word, every idle look. I mean, this is how these guys used to preach. They'd bring these people down onto the ground where they were, please, the blood of Christ, please. They're begging for the blood of Christ because their conscience is killing them. See, as an extension of God's courtroom, it's kicking out summons and subpoenas. You must appear and answer for this particular transgression. All right, we're almost done with this chapter. I think we're going to finish it. And might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. We pretty much exhausted that. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. In other words, Christ did not incarnate as an angel. He incarnated as a human being. And if someone said to you, why don't you believe there are alien life forms throughout this magnificent universe that are smarter than you, wiser than you, ascended masters? I would say because God the Son incarnated into my nature and no one else's. All right, verse 17. Oh, okay, that's a good question. In the doctrine of angelology, we indicate that prior to Satan's fall, the myriads and myriads of angels were not confirmed in a state of holiness or sin. But at the point of Satan's fall, when he convinced one-third of the angels to follow him to make his kingdom of darkness, those angels were confirmed in wickedness and can never become holy again. And the angels that did not fall with Satan are now elect and holy angels who can never sin. So two-thirds of the angelic host are elect and holy angels, and they can never sin. Their state is fixed. Well, there is. I mean, the significance is this. There's only two orders of rational creatures created to run on God, people and angels. And there was a time when both people and angels were on probation and unconfirmed in their state. Adam had to be confirmed, either in a state of obedience or disobedience. Angels had to be confirmed in a state of obedience or disobedience. But the beautiful thing about redemption is this. Though Adam was confirmed in a state of disobedience, Christ came down as the last Adam, as the final probationer, who then assumed a test and passed the test for our sakes, that he might confirm us in a state of holiness. So he becomes what's known as the last probationer to pass the test and then give us the success of passing that test that it might